This morning, please take your Bible and open to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. Romans, chapter number 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 11, and we will continue with our study on the subject of justification. A couple of weeks ago, I started a message that I've just simply entitled, Justified by Faith. Part one, we talked about what justification means, and just to review and remind everybody, justification is God declaring you and I to be righteous, and it's not because of anything we have done, it's all God, it's all of Him. Because we put our trust in Jesus and what He did for us on the cross, because we are trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, God is right to declare us to be righteous. Now, you know yourself, and I know myself, I don't, you know, outside of what Scripture says, okay, just in and of myself, I don't think I'm all that righteous, okay, because I know me. I know who I am. I know the attitudes I have and the thoughts I have and sometimes the actions that I have and all that. But because I put my faith in the finished work of Christ on Calvary, God has declared me to be righteous, and He can do that because He takes away my sin and He gives me the righteousness of Christ. I don't deserve that, but I sure am glad that He has done that for me. So that's basically some of what we talked about in that very first message. In the second message, which was last week, we were in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And you'll see as I read through these verses, there are several different words that I used to try to show us things that God has done for us because we're justified by faith. All right? And I'll try to review just briefly, and then we'll get into some new material this morning. But notice, if you would, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being, now here's the title, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So I'm going to pause, pray. I'll give you a quick review of what went over last week, and then we'll get into some new material, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the privilege that we have to be in church together this morning, and for the Word of God, the Word of God speaks to our heart and challenges us about many, many topics. This one in particular, justification, is such a wonderful topic to consider the fact that here I am, as a sinner, condemned because born in sin, choosing to sin, so many ways in which I know I disappoint You, Lord, but because I put my faith and trust in Jesus as my Savior, You have taken away my sin, You have given me the righteousness of Christ, and I am declared to be righteous. I am looking forward so much to the day when I get to heaven, and all the old nature and all the temptations and all the things that drag us down now will no longer be a factor in my life. Please, God, bless today's message. Speak to hearts. Challenge us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Each one of these is just one word point, okay? In verse number one, it mentions the fact that we have peace. And last week we talked about the fact that we can have peace with God, which is what is mentioned here in verse number one. And because we can have peace with God, we can also have peace within ourselves. And because we can have peace within ourselves and with God, we can also have peace with other believers. We're not always going to see things exactly the same, but we should be able to get along with each other and have peace with other believers. And then finally, I mentioned also that we can even have peace with unbelievers. It doesn't mean we agree with everything that they stand for or what their belief system is, but we're not enemies. We're actually kind and gracious and compassionate toward even unbelievers. So peace is that first word. Peace with God, peace within ourselves, peace with other believers, and then peace with unbelievers. The second word that I gave you is in verse number two, and that's the word position. The word position. You notice here in verse number two, it says we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have, the Bible says, access into God's presence. And this is something that we talked about at length last week, that we can go to God about anything, anytime, even if we just want to go there and visit with Him. I mentioned it this way last week, chew the fat. You know, just to sit down and have some fellowship with Him. God is open to that. He's actually desirous of us coming into His presence and just visiting with Him. And that's because of the access that we have based on our position, because we are justified by faith. The access into His presence is made possible because of what Christ did on the cross for us. So we have this position, and we are promised also a position with Christ in the heavenlies. Ephesians talks about the fact that we are seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, you say, well, that's where Jesus is. That's true. Guess who's next to Him? We are. And the Bible teaches us that we have a seat that's reserved for us. It's waiting. It's waiting for us. And one day, of course, we will get to enjoy that and sit, because that seat is reserved for us and waiting for us. We're going to be able to sit right next to the Lord Jesus, which is right next to the Father. And we're going to be in His presence forever and ever and ever. That place in heaven with Jesus is reserved and waiting for us, and one day we're going to be there to enjoy it. Wow, I'm looking forward to that. I'm sure you are as well. By the way, no one can take that from you. No one can take that from you. It's yours. So the very first word was peace. The second word was position. The third word I gave you last week was prospect, and that's also in verse number two. It says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The prospect is that we have this hope that one day we will see the glory of God. Now, the word hope, and I talked with you about this last week, not like I hope Jerry will open the door for me when I leave this building. Not like that. But this word hope is a different word, and it means an assurance, a confidence, something that's been promised to us, okay? We have hope that one day we're going to see and enjoy and experience the glory of God. There are a couple different times in Scripture where we see individuals who got a glimpse of the glory of God. And normally what happened is they would be falling flat right on their faces before the Lord. They'd be down on the ground. It would humble them, totally humble them before the Lord Jesus Christ, for instance. And I have an idea that when we get to heaven and we see the glory of God, it'll also humble us, probably more than we've ever been humbled before in our whole life. But we have this prospect, this hope, that one day we're going to see the glory of God and we're going to experience the glory of God. I have an idea that experiencing the glory of God is going to make every other experience we've ever had pale in comparison. It's going to be far beyond anything that we've ever even imagined. The prospect of seeing and experiencing the glory of God, I think, is going to be one of the highlights of going to heaven. And I'm looking forward to that very, very much. So again, those first three words that I gave you, peace, position, and prospect. Number four in my list is found in verses 3 and 4. And the word is purpose. The word is purpose. Notice verse 3 and verse 4 of Romans chapter 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm reading through here, and the Apostle Paul is writing this letter, and he says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. And my sinful self says, I'm still having a hard time with that. I'm still having a hard time glorying in tribulations. In fact, I just, my own personal belief, but I don't know that there's many people that I've met in my lifetime that really get a thrill out of going through difficulties. If you're anything like me, you avoid them at all cost. And when you find yourself in the midst of one, you want to get out of it as soon as you can. Here's me, okay, I'm just telling you, this is me. When I find myself in the midst of difficulties, my prayer, normally, the first prayer, now sometimes later the more spiritual side kicks in, which I'm happy for that, but my first prayer when I find myself in difficulties is, Lord, help me out of this. Sometime later, when the spiritual side kicks in, it's, Lord, help me to learn what you want me to learn from this. Okay? Generally, that's after he hasn't released me yet. Okay? Because if he ever does release me right away, I don't have to pray the other part. Amen? I'm just being honest. But if it continues and it's a long time and it's extended and all that, and then it's like, well, Lord, you must have a purpose for all this, so please help me to learn what you want me to learn from this. Amen. But Paul's mentioning here glorying in tribulations. Again, I'm honest. I'm struggling here. But justification, this is the thought I would like you to get from these two verses, 3 and 4. Justification gives new purpose to our lives. There are an awful lot of people in this world, some of them call themselves believers. There's an awful lot of people in this world who are moving through life thinking that they are living a life with meaningful purpose, only to reach the end of their life and realize that wasn't very fulfilling at all. Justification gives us a new purpose for our lives, and that new purpose is very fulfilling. Because we recognize, don't miss this, we recognize that God is involved in every day of my life. And all the things that happen, listen, good or bad, have been brought across my path by a God who loves me and has wonderful plans for me. That gives you purpose. That gives you purpose. I was just kidding a little bit before about, well, it's not totally kidding, is it? Because my first prayer is, Lord, get me out of this fix that I find myself in. But as the spiritual side kicks in, it's like, Lord, teach me what you want me to learn from this trial or tribulation or difficulty that I'm going through. And I have to say to you, and I believe I can honestly say this in all sincerity, as I have grown in the Lord, that second prayer comes sooner than it used to. Because, again, I've learned. Remember, Paul talked about this in one of the writings of his. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He's not talking about Kentucky and Tennessee and Florida. I have learned in whatsoever state I am. That means the situation or the circumstances or the difficulties I'm going through or the blessings that I'm going through. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Why? Because God has a plan. And my life is in his hands, and he's orchestrating things according to his plan. And so, Lord, I may not understand it, and sometimes I may have questions, but I believe that you know what you're doing, and I trust you to help me through this. As long as it takes, I trust you to help me through this. Purpose. Justification gives us a new purpose for our lives, and that new purpose is very fulfilling now, and of course it will be in eternity. I want you to notice these verses again, verse 3 and 4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Now, it doesn't stop there, does it? Knowing that tribulation worketh what?
Patience.
Tribulation worketh patience. Let's just do a little survey real quick. You've been saved for a little while. I'm going to ask you to participate. Okay? If you've been saved for a little while, would you believe that right now, at your stage in your Christian life, where you are right now, you are more patient with the Lord and what he's doing in your life than you used to be years ago? Oh, look at that. There's hands all over the place. Why? It's right here in these verses, isn't it? Tribulation worketh patience. It helps you, I think, to trust the Lord. It helps you even when you can't see the, you know, like they say, the light at the end of the tunnel. Even when you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's maybe pitch black, but you know, listen, you know that God has got you by the hand, and he's going to walk with you through this. He doesn't guarantee us we won't have any problems, but he does guarantee us I'll walk with you through those problems. I'll bring you safely to the other side. Along the way, there will be lessons to be learned, no doubt. But I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will walk with you through those problems, and I'll bring you safely to the other side. Well, I'll tell you what, friend, when you're growing as a Christian and you come to that realization, that gives you a whole new purpose. It gives you a whole new purpose because you just know that God's got it in control. I've said it this way several different times through the years, but it's as if he whispers in my ear and says, you know what, Mark? I've got this. I've got this. Trust me. I've got this. Man, that gives you such peace. It just helps you to settle in and say, you know what? I don't have to worry about that. God's got this. I'm going to be okay. A new purpose. Notice again the verses. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Look at this. And patience, experience. Here again, another quick survey. How many of you today, as you're right here today, and you think about your Christian walk and how long you've been saved and all that, would you agree with me that with an uplifted hand, you have much more experience now as far as God and how he works in our life and how he has our best interest at heart and he's not going to disappoint? And yeah, I might have questions sometimes, but he's got it. He's in control. Would you agree with that? Yeah, there's hands up all over. Me too. But it started with tribulations, didn't it?
Yeah.
And that brings about patience, which brings about experience.
Yeah.
I would hope, like just using myself as an example, I got saved in 1973. I would hope that after all these years, I've got some experience with God. I've got some experience with God. I know a little bit better today than I, you know, have ever. That how he works and what he will do and what he won't do and, you know, how I need to talk with him and how I need to trust him. And, you know, experience, you can't have the experience that a person would have after 50 plus years of salvation. You can't have that experience when you've just been saved the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah.
It takes a lifetime.
Yeah.
It takes a lifetime to build that experience. But man, once you're here, it just, I don't know, to me, it just helps you to trust. It helps you to believe that he's going to take care of it. You know, sometimes people worry about the silliest things, but we need to learn to trust the Lord and let him handle the silliest things. He's real good at that, by the way. He's real good at that. Much better than you and I are. Notice the verses again. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. There's that word hope again. It's the same as the one earlier. You know, hope, and it's assurance and confidence and trust that you just know that it's going to be okay. You just know. Listen, you just know that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I don't have any idea how the elections are going to turn out in November. I have no idea. Naturally, I have some thoughts, and naturally, I have some, you know, things that I've been praying about and hoping God will do and all that kind of stuff. But that's a whole different hope than this hope. That's a whole different hope than this one. I have a hope in a living God who always keeps his word. And no matter what the politicians do, my God always does what he says he will do. Amen. That's why I can say with all confidence, the best is yet to come. Amen. The best is yet to come. And I'm not really, it's like, you've heard me say this before, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. Okay? Well, I heard this the other day too, and I've heard it several times recently. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. The Antichrist is coming onto the scene. There's no doubt about that. Scripture is real clear. He's going to rule and reign over this earth, and he's going to have control over everything for about 7 years. But I'm not looking for him. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he's coming to get me, and he's coming to get you. And we have the promise in his word that he's going to keep us, listen to this, don't you love this? He's going to keep us from the hour of temptation that is going to try the world. He's going to keep us from that. So I'm looking forward to that. Again, new purpose. These verses show us that he is using tribulation to produce patience. He uses patience to produce experience. He uses experience to produce hope. All this has to do with the purpose for our being here. You know, if the Lord wanted to, after he saved us, he could have taken us directly to heaven. But he didn't, because he has a plan that he's working in your life and mine. And he's trying to mold us and make us into his image. Into his image. That's part of the purpose. Look at verse 5 with me. Here's another word. Verse 5 says this, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Here's the word, power. Power. I said already, he's given us peace, he's given us position, he's given us prospect, he's given us purpose. Now here's the word power, verse 5. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Power. There's two things that are mentioned here which give the believer power. One of them is the love of God, and the other is the Spirit of God. The love of God and the Spirit of God. The love of God, of course, God's word teaches us, constrains us or compels us or controls us so that we live in such a way that we try our best to please him. The love of God does that. The Spirit of God is the one who helps us then to live for the Lord and also to live for others. So the love of God and the Spirit of God are given to us as power to live this Christian life. I can say for myself, I'm pretty sure it's true for all of us, but without the love of God and the Spirit of God, I probably would not last very long. I probably would not last very long. In fact is, I'm pretty sure after being saved in 1973, I still wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today without the love of God and the Spirit of God. Boy, thank God he never fails. Thank God he keeps working with me. Thank God he keeps ministering to me and in me and through me. Without these two, we really are going to run out of strength very, very quickly. Notice, if you would, verse 5, and then notice verse 6 also. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were yet without strength, our strength and our abilities will fail us every time. I guarantee you, friend, if you're trying to live the Christian life in your own strength, you will fail. So will I. God's strength and God's ability, God's love, the Spirit of God within us, all of that's going to help us with strength and abilities that will, again, never fail us and help us to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you want to finish well?
Amen.
I tell you, I know I say it a lot, but I do. I want to finish well. Because I just believe this. I'm not as old as some, I know that, but I do know that I'm closer to the end than I am to the beginning. I'm not stupid. Huh? I'm closer to the end than I am to the beginning. I've lived all these years as a Christian, and I can't stand up here and say I've got another 50-plus years to live the Christian life. Chances are I don't. But I do tell you this. When my life does come to an end, I want to have finished well. I really do want to hear my Savior say, I'm proud of you. Well done. I'm proud of you.
Amen.
Now, I don't know how much you see things like this or not, but there have been some pretty high-profile people in recent months that have fallen by the wayside.
Yeah.
One a few weeks ago, and it floored me. It just floored me when I heard that this particular Baptist pastor failed in an area of morality, and I just couldn't believe it. I'm not standing up here saying that will never happen to me, because the Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So I'm not proudly or with pride saying that'll never happen to me, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to do my best to walk humbly with my God each and every day. You know, Micah 6:8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. If you and I would learn to walk humbly with our God each and every day, realize, you know what, don't be offended when I tell you this, but realize what a wicked sinner we are in and of ourselves. You know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you recognize that and you know that, the key is to stay as close to the Lord Jesus Christ as possible so that doesn't happen to you. I want to finish well. I don't want to be a casualty. Well, he had all these years when he did so great, but right near the end, he fell off the wagon. I don't want that said of me. Not at all. Power to live the Christian life, power to do what the Lord wants you to do, power to please him, power to serve others, power that will never, ever fail you. It's available. It's available to each and every one of us. There's another word I'd like to give you, and that's found in verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. Let's look there at Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So we've got so far peace, position, prospect, purpose, power. Here's number 6. Pardon. Pardon. Because of the finished work of Christ on the cross, we are offered God's pardon. When I took Jesus Christ as my Savior, God, are you ready for this? God pardoned me.
Amen.
Okay? Here's the list. You know, and of course, there'd be many more pages than this. I got 3 pages in my notes right now. Here's the list of all my offenses against God. And because I've trusted the finished work of Christ on the cross, my Heavenly Father said, paid in full.
Amen.
My debt's been paid. That means I've been pardoned. I've been pardoned. Because of my trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross, God has offered me his pardon. And because God has offered me his pardon, I don't have to suffer God's wrath right now. Did you notice it here in verse number 9? Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Because of God's pardon, we don't have to suffer God's wrath right now. You know, there's a verse in the book of Proverbs which says this. Just a portion of the verse says this. The way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. Now, I believe there's going to be difficulties in life for all of God's children, but there are many, many, many more difficulties for those who don't know the Lord than those who do. Have you ever wondered, how do people make it without the Lord? I've wondered that a lot of times. How do people make it without the Lord? I'm glad we have him to help us. I'm glad he's right there to help us all the time. And by the way, I'm glad that he's pardoned us so that we don't have to face his wrath right now. By the way, because of God's pardon, we don't have to suffer God's wrath during the tribulation. I referred to that a moment ago, where the Bible says that he's going to keep us from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world. There's a time coming, a period of 7 years called the tribulation, where God's going to pour out his wrath upon the world. Upon the world. Greater wrath than anyone's ever experienced before. I'm really glad I'm not going to be here. Believers don't have to experience that because we've been justified, we are pardoned, and we are promised to be kept from that hour that's going to come upon the world. So because of God's pardon, we don't suffer God's wrath now, we don't suffer it during the tribulation, and I love this one as well, we don't have to suffer God's wrath in eternity. God's wrath in eternity is going to be experienced in the lake of fire. Aren't you glad you never have to worry about going to the lake of fire? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what Scripture says. When you breathe your last here on earth, your next breath is in heaven with Jesus. The ultimate time of suffering that we're talking about in the lake of fire, that won't happen to you and me because we've been pardoned. But many, many others, by the way, will suffer in that place for all of eternity, and simply because they rejected God's free gift of salvation. Let me review real quick. I've got one more word for you. In this place, Romans 5, 1 through 11, in verse 1, the word peace. In verse 2, the word position. In verse 2, the word prospect. In verse 3 and 4, the word purpose. In verse 5, the word power. In verse 6 through 9, pardon. Here's the last one. Verses 10 and 11, the word is perseverance. Perseverance. Verse 10 and 11, for if, when we were enemies, and by the way, make no mistake about this, at one time you were God's enemy. Because of your sin and my sin, we were enemies of God. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, look at this, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Perseverance. The truth being taught in verses 10 and 11 is that because Jesus still lives. I want you to hear every word because this is really important. Because Jesus still lives, you and I will forever be saved. There's a song in our hymnal, you're familiar with it. I serve a risen Savior. He's in my life today. I know that he is living. whatever men may say. There's a wonderful truth taught in that hymn. Because our Savior lives, we will be forever saved. I'm so thankful for that. I don't serve a dead Savior. I serve a living Savior. And that means that once you have salvation, or again the word justification, once you have that, you don't ever have to worry about losing it. It's yours forever. It means that God keeps working on you and me to make us and mold us into what He wants us to be. You can probably say this about some of your grandchildren as well, but they're, I gotta be careful, I don't want to say something that might offend somebody, but there's a grandson that I have by the name of Braden. And Braden was adopted when he was just a little tyke. And that was April and Nick that adopted him. And if you remember seeing him, some of you do, I know, he fit into that family right from day one. You couldn't tell that he didn't belong to Nick and April. And believe it or not, he's already graduated from high school. And we were sent some graduation pictures and so forth. And I said to Sarah, I said, boy, he's grown up to be a fine young man. If you were to sit down and talk with him, you would talk with somebody who's just 18 years old, just a graduate of high school, but he's grounded. He knows the Lord is his Savior. He loves God. He wants to serve. He's got an air of humility about him. It's just a pleasure to be around him. And there's others of my grandkids that I could say that about too, but I just thought about him because, I tell you this, probably telling you too much, but April sent us a little gizmo about that big, about as big as an iPad, that you can exchange a code and she can send you pictures. And then on that gizmo, that's a real technical term, by the way, on that gizmo, those pictures will just keep rotating. And so when it's plugged in, I mean, it'll all day long, it'll just keep rotating those pictures. And there's all kinds of different pictures in there that, you know, she has sent us. She tried to set it up to where the other girls would also send pictures, and so far they've been slow to do that. Right? So most of the pictures have all come from April's family, but this is what I think of when I'm telling you this story, because several of those pictures are Braden's graduation pictures, and, you know, his cap and gown and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just saying all that to say that God has worked in that young man's life. And I realize he's got a long ways to go. I understand that. You'll know exactly what I mean when I say this. The end of the story hadn't been written yet. By the way, can I encourage all of us to remember that when we think about somebody who's maybe wayward? Yeah. The end of the story's not been written yet. Yeah. So we do, don't we? We pray for our grandchildren often and ask God would work in their lives and that they would love God and live for God and do what's right and so forth. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do with Braden and the others. I'm not trying to exclude anyone. But see, God is doing that not just with Braden. God's doing that with you and me too. He's molding us. He's making us. He has plans for us. And that's part of the word perseverance. See, you want to see this fulfilled. You want to see it carried out. You want to see this long, fruitful life lived out for the Lord. Let me take you. We're still in the book of Romans, but go to chapter 8, would you? Just for a little bit. I promise. I got to wrap this up because I know our time is quickly fleeting. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. You're familiar with this passage, I know. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. See, we've been talking about this now for several weeks. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, now look at this, nay, in all these things, that's what he mentioned in verse 35, the tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. No wonder the songwriter wrote these words. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. Just think of what Paul's saying there. All those things that, you know, a lot of folks would say, well, that'll do us in for sure. No, that won't do us in. Because we belong to God and God belongs to us. We've been justified by faith. One more verse, and I'm just going to read it off my notes here for you. Philippians 1:6. In fact, I'll quote it for you. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What a great verse. I want you to know, and I want to remind all of us, we serve a great God who loves you and has great plans for you. And this justification by faith, or justified by faith, please don't look at it as, well, that's my ticket out of hell. I mean, yeah, it is, but that's a small part of the whole picture here. God has such great plans for you and me. And I hope that you will enjoy and relish those plans that God has for you. What a great God we serve. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one is looking. Justified by faith. Father in heaven, thank you for these simple little words that I use or pull out from these verses just to remind everybody what we have because we're justified. And then, of course, the scriptures we closed with, that nothing can separate us from you. Boy, what a wonderful truth this is. Help us to live our life in such a way that others watching us would desire what we have. Could you sit down and explain to me why you have such victory? Could you sit down and explain to me how I could have that same victory? There are people in this world that would love to hear that story. Please, Lord, help us to be willing and ready to tell that story. Bless this invitation now as we give it in Jesus' name. Amen.